welcome to the New Beginnings message of the week. We hope you enjoy this message from our Sunday service. For more information about our church, please visit us online at newbeginningscos.com.
And what I want to point out this morning is something I think that we often glaze over. Often we talk about what God starts in the church, we're called to spread. And I believe there is a piece of truth in that space. But what we see in this scripture is Paul had encountered persecution. Paul often started with the Jews. And then when that was rejected, when the Jewish people rejected the word of the gospel and that Jesus was the Messiah, then he would move on to the Gentiles. What we see here is a little bit of a transition. He started in the synagogue just like he normally did, but he really didn't have breakthrough until he began tent making. See, as the body of Christ, we think that we've got to come to church, we got to get what we need to get so that we can go out and preach to other people. And sometimes we are misunderstanding what God has put in us. See, what God has put in us isn't something like a battery that we come to church and we get recharged. Yes, it does work that way, and also it doesn't. See, sometimes we believe more in the power and the authority that somebody else walks in instead of believing in the Holy Spirit, in Jesus Christ, and the blood that he died and washed us with that we carry, that we walk in. See, Paul began to get breakthrough in the marketplace because he was called to the Gentiles. The scripture actually says he was called to the Gentiles. Interesting that he was probably the most equipped person to go to the Jewish people. In fact, I might even propose that Paul, yes, there was out of an honor for the Jewish people that Paul went to the synagogues and started in the synagogues. But I would actually propose that that would be the place of his comfort. Paul grew up being basked in the word of God. He was marinated in understanding the scriptures. He could debate and refute and contest, and I dare say win, just about anybody who would come and have a conversation with him that would be a different idea. Why? Because he grew up in the synagogue. He said, I am a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was comfortable in that place. He felt at home in the synagogue. Church, sometimes we go to where we feel comfortable, where we feel confident, and we want to encounter his presence. We want to share his presence in that space. Good. Keep on doing it. Don't stop. But church, we are called to the marketplace. We're called to the places outside of these four walls. That's where the Lord wants to bring his power. Sometimes we come and we come expectant. Good, come expectant. Come and get refilled. Come and get recharged. But then we go out of these walls and we forget that we carry the same Holy Spirit, the same God that wants to move in power in our workplaces, in our homes, in our marriages, in our finances, in the broken places when our kids don't understand the pain they're going through at school or in other places, and we can't fix it for them. All we can do is sit with them in that space. We have the same Holy Spirit. We have the same God of power, and we haven't seen his breakthrough. Sometimes we begin to lose faith and go, gosh, I must be missing something. I must not have it right. I must not be good enough. I must have to go back to the church and figure it out. And church, what I want to remind you today is that sometimes it takes stepping out in faith, stepping out of our comfort zone, and seeing the person who's right next to us. You know, I imagine that as much as Paul was had the trade of tent maker, that he probably felt a little more comfortable in the synagogue. And so what I want to ask us today is, where are the places that God is asking us where maybe we're a little less qualified? I imagine that Paul felt more qualified in the synagogue than he did as a tent maker. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm reading into it. But I notice a pattern He started at the synagogue, and then he went to the Gentiles, where he found breakthrough almost always was first with the Gentiles and then with the Jewish people. This morning, I want to challenge us. I want to encourage us that just because we're not experiencing breakthrough in the place that we're crying out for breakthrough, it doesn't mean he doesn't want to break out in power. He has not disarmed you, church. You are lacking nothing. That's what the scripture says, lacking nothing. So when he asks you to step out in the marketplace, and I use that as a general term because sometimes it might be stepping out at your kid's school. Sometimes it might be stepping out at the mechanic shop when he's fixing your car. And sometimes it might be stepping out at the Walmart. Can I get an amen? So I want to just encourage you of a couple of testimonies, but we're going to start with some testimonies from our house. So I'm going to share a testimony, and I just want you to listen really quick for the Holy Spirit this morning. And if he's asking you to share something, come. I'm going to have you come up to the front. We're going to keep it short and sweet, like 30, 40 seconds, okay? Some of you may have heard this story, but I felt important. I was reminded of it this week. There was one of our friends, one of the pastors up in Denver at Bridgeway Church, goes to this gas station frequently to I don't know, get his coffee or whatever. And he goes in, and as he's going in, he sees this young man who's clearly been confused in his gender identity. And he just, you know, was like, Lord, I bless him. I want to bless him. And so he just, you know, in the spirit, just blessed him as he walked in. And as he was walking out, the Lord stopped him and started to have a conversation. And he said, hey, I'm Scott. What's your name? And he said, oh, my name is Gloria. And he began to converse with this young man, and this young man carried a lot of pain and a lot of bitterness towards God specifically. He said, God must have been confused when he made me. He didn't know what he was doing. He should have made me a woman, not a man. And he continues and he continues and he continues and just kind of rants for about 10 minutes about his anger for God, towards God, about his identity. And Scott's just standing there and he's just listening. And he's listening and he's like, Lord, I can't even get a word in edgewise. What do I need to do? And the Lord is like, ask him what it would take. And so he said, you know, Gloria, I see you and I see that you're hurting and I can see that you've got some anger towards the Lord. What would it take? And then he starts ranting towards his parents. His parents, oh, well, they named me Greg and they didn't know what they were doing. And I'm so angry at them and I'm so angry at the church. And another, you know, good chunk of time ranting his disappointment, his anger, his frustration. And the Lord said, ask him what it would take. And so as Scott asks him, what would it take for God to show you that he loves you and he cares about you and he is real? And he said, oh, it would have to be something really amazing, really extravagant. It would have to be something that's never been done before. And Scott said, you know what? I believe I serve that God. Now, I just pause one moment, church, to kind of acknowledge the climate around gender confusion is a very touchy climate. It's complicated. There's obviously wounds and disappointment and bitterness and brokenness. It's tricky. And going and just being like, you're a sinner, it's wrong, rah, 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 is not going to bring change. It won't infuse the love of God into a situation. It's tricky. He was stepping into a very tricky situation. I would bet uncomfortable situation. But he was being obedient, and he was being obedient with love. He was so tender, and he was just hearing him out. And so as they continue, he goes, well, let's just stop and pray. And I believe that God wants to show himself to you in a mighty way. And so he prayed. And as he was praying, Gloria felt this pain on their side. And Scott was like, are you okay? Do you have a sickness that we need to pray for? And he goes, no. I got my name tattooed on my side. And it's all of a sudden, as you started to pray, I got severe pain on my side. And Scott was like, okay, well, let's pray a little more. And as he prayed a little more, the pain began to increase. And finally, Gloria picks up his shirt, looks at his tattoo, and it no longer says Gloria. It says Greg, his given name from his parents. Now, church, if that is not God intervening in an extravagant and powerful way at a gas station when Scott went to go get his coffee, that's an hour up the road. If that's happening up there, I want it to happen here. And I'm not saying that we need to seek that particular encounter out. And I want to be really clear. Actually, I want us to get the idea, the concept, not the replication. See, sometimes we put God in a box and he says, oh, God moves in this way. And then we expect him to move in that way every time. And if it's not that way, we're disappointed and we're not on the lookout for what else he could do. You know, sometimes when you go hunting, you're hunting for what you have the license for, right? Like an elk. And, you know, in this world, if you go hunting for an elk and you come back with a deer, you're going to get in trouble, right? But in the spirit, when you go out hunting and you have your eyes peeled, you get to choose whatever game you encounter, whatever the Lord brings to you. Like back in the old days, when hunters would go out in the old days before licenses, what they went out looking for dinner. They didn't say, I'm elk hunting and I'm only going to come back with an elk. If there was a rabbit that went by, they would also hunt the rabbit. If they could take both of them, they would take both of them, right? And in the same way, church, I think we need to go back into that space of, Lord, I want you to move in me, and I am going to keep my eyes peeled, and I am going to be eagerly awaiting and expecting whatever you want to do, however you want to show up, I am available. I heard a story this weekend about a woman. She was a witch doctor in Thailand. And I mean, we're talking like cursed the church in her community regularly. People would go to her because she operated in a measure of power. And she was dying of stage 4 cancer, and nothing she could do could heal her from that stage 4 cancer. And on her deathbed, she calls the pastor of the community and she says, Pastor, my daughter is going to be orphaned when I die. And if you know Thai culture, that is a very likely case. And she said, I need someone to care for my daughter. Will you make sure the church looks out for my daughter and takes care of her needs? And he said, absolutely. And also, we're going to pray and ask God to heal you. They prayed. She was healed from stage 4 cancer. That's not the best part of the story. Get this. The pastor said, because now she doesn't have a job anymore. She got healed. God healed her out of witchcraft. She got moved on. The pastor had showed up and he said, hey, you need a new job. Let me help you. He helped her buy an ice cream cart and ice cream so that she could sell ice cream. Listen, if you've ever been to Thailand, you know it's a good investment. And so there, she is rolling along the streets, and she begins to bless the city that she used to curse. And she said, God, every person who buys an ice cream for me, I ask that you would bless them. Every ice cream cone that gets licked, Lord, would your presence fill their lives? And as you bless my work, God, would you bless this city? Would you give me opportunity? And she began to pray for an opportunity to meet with the mayor. So, of course, she positions herself. She's rolling around the place where the mayor hangs out. The mayor is a super corrupt man, very, very corrupt. Totally causing the city to not flourish because of his corruption. And she encounters that he buys an ice cream and he's like, oh, this is so good. Guess what? He was sensing the blessing that the ice cream carried. If a handkerchief can carry it, so can an ice cream, right? And so so he was sensing that blessing. He kind of leaned in. He's like, what is different about this ice cream? And she said, you need to come to church. And he kind of ho-hummed, but sure enough, he showed up on the Sunday. Guess what the preacher who had prayed for her for that healing was preaching about? Zacchaeus and corruption. Now, again, if you know Thai culture, you know that that's like basically handing them your death sentence, like, oh, this is going to go well. And so sure enough, the mayor was angry. He walked out. He left that Sunday angry. And he called up the pastor later that week. He said, I want to meet with you. And the pastor was like, okay, well, honey, let's make sure my will is ready to go and make sure the family is set. He thought he was walking into his death. But the mayor escorts him into the nicest restaurant, sits him down, and over lunch he said, I didn't like what you had to say. I didn't like what you had to say. And I don't know. And he starts confessing all of these corrupt things that he's done. And after that, he said, do you think God could really love me after all I've done? The pastor was like, yes. And so he leads him to the Lord. He says, you know, fix it. And so he has a full-on Zacchaeus moment. He gets converted. Guess what? The same thing happens to the governor in a similar manner because of that little lady in her little ice cream cart. I'm not sharing with you because I want you to go buy an ice cream cart because I imagine it's probably not going to be as successful here as it would be in Thailand. But what I am sharing with you is that you are in the marketplace. You are out in this world, and even if you're retired, you get the concept. You're encountering people in other places. Maybe it's at the bowling alley. Maybe it's at your book club. Maybe it's at your doctor's office. Yes, I'm believing for healing over here, and I'm holding for space over here, and I'm going to the doctor for this healing over here. And also, let me tell you about this amazing encounter I had over here and how I got some breakthrough over here. And it's not just like, hey, let me share you the good news. Let me tell you about Jesus. Because listen, church, we've done a bad job of, or a very effective job of cramming, you're a sinner, and you need a savior, and that is good and also true. Instead of sitting with someone in their brokenness and saying, hey, Gloria, you want to be called Gloria? I'll call you Gloria. I'll respect where you are at, even if I don't agree with it. And I'm going to hear you out. I'm going to hear you rant. And all of the places I could defend and say, maybe that was your church, but our church is better and blah, 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 blah. But we enter into that pain with them and say, what would it take? And then in that place of discomfort, in that out of our comfort zone place, ask the Holy Spirit to move in a powerful way. But see, church, we position ourselves in our comfort to come and encounter the presence of God. And because we're still waiting for breakthrough in a place, we think we haven't gotten enough of what God has for us in the house of God. And we don't choose to encounter him in the marketplace. And I would say, and I will tell you honestly, I was like, 80% loved the world, but there was 20% that I held judgment. And I had to repent of that this weekend. I had to repent of the fact that I don't love the world that Jesus died for the way that Jesus loves the world that he died for. See, it says we are co-laborers to help reconcile the world to himself. That's his desire. But if I can't, listen, that means he already paid the price for them. They just get to wake up to it. And my goal is to say, hey, here's the King of Glory. Let him encounter you. See, Paul began in the synagogue, but got breakthrough in the marketplace. And our challenge today is where are those places? I'm not saying that every single one of us needs to go to our job and start, wah! But what I am saying is we have places of influence that we pass by an opportunity to speak into because, well, I checked my God box this week, or I have disappointment in this area, and I haven't seen God move in power over here, and so I don't know if I can trust him to move in power and for my coworker. What I would say is, what if he doesn't move like we expect him to move, but he shows up anyway? Maybe we pray for healing and it doesn't happen. But guess what? Somebody who's been prayed for and receives a prayer of healing, they're still encountering the love and the presence of God more than they did the moment before you offered to pray. But we discount his love sometimes. And we discount that just seeing someone and saying, hey, I really like you. You're really, really enjoyable. Might not be an impartation of his love. See, church, we're a tiny little church, but we're called to a really big city. And I'm not the savior of the world. Praise the Lord. And what I'm talking about sounds really hard, but really all it is a willingness to say, God, good morning. What do you want to do today? How do you want to do it today? How can I be partnering with you? And then pick up your gun and go hunting. We had an apostle come over this weekend, and he imparted an apostolic anointing, which is, right, if you operate as in the apostolic, it's the goal is to make earth look more like heaven, right? And he released that anointing to us, and I believe that we're called to release that to our city. And he said something with a warning. He said, if you receive this word, and I hope you do, what you do in the next 24 hours will determine the outcomes of the next weeks and days and months to come. And so I just asked, Lord, what do you want me to do? How can I respond to this word? It took me a good chunk of that 24 hours to get home. So that was interesting. But when I got home, before I got home, I knew I was going to be really, really tired. And before I got home, I told David and the kids so that they would hold me accountable so I didn't get too tired. And we poured some vegetable oil into some squirt guns into a bubble gum because we couldn't find enough squirt guns. And we went up to Palmer Park, high point in our city, and we just repented. We asked the Lord to forgive us for not loving this city the way that he's called us to love, the way that he loves the people in this city. And then we took our cute little squirt guns and we just anointed the north, the south, the east, and the west in Colorado Springs. And I don't share that because, ooh, we're amazing. But I do share that because I believe as mother and father of this house, that we as a family are taking on a new level of the apostolic anointing for this city. Because until Colorado Springs looks more like heaven, God's not done yet. There's husbands and wives who are in broken marriages. They're suffering. And God wants to encounter them with his love. There are kids who are suffering as they're going to school or maybe at home, riddled with depression and anxiety. And we are called to those broken homes and those broken places. There are businesses that God wants to put in our city, dreams and visions that haven't been done yet, that is going to bless the city of Colorado Springs. But we are called to bring a piece of heaven to earth. And as we do that, that will birth healthy marriages, healthy families, healthy businesses, healthy homes, healthy city. But we've got to start right here. We've got to start in our homes and in our hearts. And so this morning, I want us to do a couple of things. I'm going to have Brittany and a couple other people share a quick testimony because I got off track and now I'm getting back on track in that space. Because it's important to know that even as Brittany and I were crying out for a breakthrough on behalf of our body and behalf of our city, God was already answering with breakthrough. Before those words were coming out of our mouth, but the yearning was growing in our heart, we were getting texts of breakthrough, of things that happened this week. And we were also getting opportunities to lean in for breakthrough in places that we really need a miracle. Really need a miracle. So, Britt, will you come up and Joylynn if you feel like you can? And if anybody else has a testimony of just how God shows up, it doesn't matter how big or how small. We are going to be people who celebrates what God does in our body.
Yeah, so this weekend while we were there, they kept having people pray in their spiritual language, pray in tongues. And I was just observing. I had not received that gift yet. And so as people were praying in that throughout the weekend, on the last day, I talked to Catherine about it, and I just had some questions about it. And she's like, you know what? I mean, there was more that she said, but she's like, if you want it, it's already there. You can have it. And so that last night, I had Pat, the people that are going to be coming in a couple weeks, and I just had her sit and pray with me and explain it more and just pray over me. And she talked about it's more letting go of your mind and opening your mouth and connecting with the Lord. And so I, that night, received my spiritual language.
So for me, God gave me freedom and he gave me joy. So I've struggled with anxiety really, really bad for a really long time. And this week, I was actually listening to a Bill Johnson sermon, and he started talking about bitterness. And I was like, psh, not me. I'm not bitter. I've dealt with my things, right? And then, you know, I was like, and it just kept nagging, and then listening to something else, and it came up again, and I was like, well, God, you can have it all. And then I started realizing all the areas I was bitter in. And yesterday I realized I had a full 24 hours without anxiety, and that has been broken off of me. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
How long has that been since you've been 24 hours anxiety free?
I don't remember the last time I've not had anxiety. Like, I was a kid. So, yeah. Yeah.
Come on. That is a big deal, guys. That's not a little deal. I also, would it be okay if I put you on the spot a little bit? So, 3 weeks ago, Raul had a severe heart attack. And see, what sometimes I forget is that grandfather, Raul's dad, had multiple heart attacks, more than we can recall, and he rebounded multiple times. And so 3 weeks ago, when Poppy went in, we needed a miracle and we needed an intervention. But when the Lord came through and he's sitting here, we were like, oh, that's normal. But it's not normal. It's not normal for him to be playing up here on a Sunday morning 3 weeks after the severity of the heart attack. That's not normal. That's a miracle. Guys, and I don't want to ever discount what God does. Yes, we've seen him come through in the area of heart attack before, and also it's a heart attack. We've seen him in the area of anxiety before, and also somebody who doesn't even remember being without anxiety in a 24-hour period for years upon years experienced 24 hours anxiety-free with no medication, right? Is that right? No meds? No medication for anxiety? Yeah. Okay. Thought I double-checked that. That's huge. That is huge. But see, sometimes we see the breakthrough in ways that feel normal to us, and somebody right next to us is crying out for breakthrough in that way. And think about the people who you hear something to the effect of my anxiety, blah, 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 blah. I mean, I talk to somebody probably once a week minimum who's like, hey, if you could be praying for my anxiety, right? And so we just kind of assume, yes, Jesus, heal anxiety and blah, blah, blah. And we just kind of carry on. But listen, God wants to move in power. And it doesn't mean that he doesn't also cause us to walk out a journey. Sometimes it's instantaneous, and sometimes there is inner healing that needs to be walked out. That's okay. And also we can lean in for the breakthrough in that place. What became normal to see breakthrough in the area of a heart attack, y'all are like raising your eyebrows like, oh my gosh, right? Because it's not normal. That is breakthrough. That is the miraculous. He was up here playing his guitar with that. It's a miracle. It's a miracle that he's here with us. And I just want to remind us, church, that the places that we are experiencing breakthrough can be easily bypassed. And we need to have our eyes peeled and on the lookout for that place.